Sit back and relax. It's time to improve your financial lot in life. Produced at CFIS-FM Studios in Prince George, this is your tune-up. And here's your host, Deb Ross.
Hello and welcome. Today, my guest is Christine. She is a driving instructor with All Roads Driving Academy here in Prince George. And I thought it would be interesting to have a conversation and a chat with Christine, particularly here we are, we're entering winter, or at least we're supposed to be entering winter. Our weather hasn't quite caught up with our calendar, but here we are, winter driving is upon us. And I thought it would be good for us to have a chat about safe driving. So Christine, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Deb.
Thanks for taking time out of the car to sit in another chair. Thank you. Probably don't have a microphone in front of you when you're in the car.
Not usually, nope.
You might like one of those megaphones if you have difficult students. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But anyways, I do appreciate your time today.
Thanks.
Can you start off by chatting with me about what attracted you to becoming a driving instructor?
Well, it almost fell in my lap. I wasn't really digging in to be a driving instructor. A friend of mine had seen an ad in the newspaper and had convinced me that I would be good for the job, which I thought they were out of their mind. But having the lack of education, with having only a grade 10 education, and I was a single mom of four young children at the time, I didn't really have too much else for a career path. So I guess I decided to apply, and I did eventually pass all their requirements. And I worked for a few years as a driving instructor and decided I'd try something new. So I went back to college, got my adult dogwood and an administrative assistant certificate, and had an office job for a couple years. It didn't go over very well, so back to driving I went, and here I am 20 years later.
Yes. Well, it sounds like a really good career choice. 20 years, right?
I know, it's a long time, isn't it?
Well, I hate to say that, but
whenever I say that out loud,
we are getting older.
Whenever I say that out loud, I can't believe I've been doing this for 20 years.
Yes.
I've taught, when I sit back and I think about how many students that I've had through my career, it's well into 3,000 or better.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of people. I want to tell you that how much I appreciate you instructing 3,000 drivers. Just to think about those drivers on our roads and our highways, to have your instruction. The whole community benefits from that. So
thanks,
thank you.
Deb. And that's the good drivers that I taught too, by the way.
Excellent. So do you work with all sorts of driving instruction needs? And I'm thinking about the recertification training programs that are sometimes offered for our seniors.
Yes, I do work with senior citizens. I do offer a refresher course for them. I have had many seniors come to me because they are now required to do a retest. And since every driver's different, every person's different, they all require something. I don't want to use the word different again, but it is
unique.
Thanks. Unique. And some drivers need more time in sessions than others.
Sure. I can absolutely appreciate that. Yes. So in terms of new drivers, you had mentioned to me when we were chatting kind of in preparation for this interview that you've worked with new drivers, of course, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds that are just can't wait to get behind the wheel. But you've also worked with drivers who were brand new drivers who were well into their 60s.
Yes, I have. And that was absolutely eye-opener for me. There's one lady in particular, and I won't mention her name because she probably wouldn't appreciate it. But what an amazing lady. And she had decided to get her license at the age of 63, and by not even driving a lick in her life. And she said she even admitted as a passenger, she never really even paid attention to the road and to road rules or anything like that. And amazingly enough, 5 attempts later on her road test, she did want to give up on me after the 3rd try. And it was mostly due to nerves. She was very nervous about the road test. She was very comfortable with me behind the wheel of the vehicle because we had spent so many hours together. But with somebody new, she got very nervous. But after her fifth attempt, she's now driving on the road, and every once in a while, I'll see her out there.
Oh, that takes a special level of bravery, I think, for someone who's never driven.
I know.
But, well, kudos to that lady.
I really look up to her. And yes. She's an amazing woman.
So, as you're aware, this is a financial talk show, and I'm interested in discussing safe driving. So, my reasoning for asking you onto the show, of course, is to review safe driving, but I've also walked through numerous bankruptcies with people who have become disabled due to traffic accidents. And, of course, they can't work, or at very least, they have different job duties that don't pay the same. And they end up not being able to afford to wait for ICBC to work through their claim process. They end up living on credit in that interim. And then when the ICBC process is completed, it's not enough to deal with the credit that's been racked up just with their basic living expenses. And of course, even though we as British Columbians may think that our insurance has these things covered, it always doesn't work out so smoothly. And driving safely is a far better option for us. Now, aside from the obvious benefit of being safe on the road, safe driving decreases the likelihood of course, expensive accidents, but it also decreases the likelihood of those pesky little traffic tickets. So, are there some common bad habits that you notice with drivers which could make a significant difference to safety on the road?
Well, preventative measures would be a definite benefit to most drivers on the road and their pocketbooks, but I do see some similarities in seasoned drivers, and one of them is speeding. A lot of drivers go with the flow of traffic, which is sometimes the safest thing to do. But unfortunately, speeding can result in a ticket. Most drivers figure that doing 10 kilometers over the speed limit is not a big deal. So doing 60 in a 50 zone, doing 80 in a 70 zone, a lot of drivers just feel like, you know, it's just not a big deal. And they're probably not likely to get pulled over for a speeding ticket for only doing 10 kilometers over the speed limit. Well, if we look at a 30 zone and you do 10 kilometers over, we're looking at 40 kilometers an hour, which you could probably guarantee a speeding ticket if there's a speed trap set up in that area. I like to think of it more as a 10% rule than a 10 kilometer rule. So a 10% rule would be 55 in a 50 zone, 33 in a 30 zone, 110 in a 100 zone. It's more reasonable and safe. If a driver absolutely feels that they can drive faster than the posted speed limit, safely that is, then the 10% rule is more reasonable. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning speeding. I'm just looking at a safer way of maneuvering through traffic.
Right. And of course, traffic usually does move at that pace. And I have found that some of what might appear unsafe is individuals who have slowed right down and are going the speed limit, even though, of course, they are perfectly on cue driving the speed limit, but they almost seem like they're in the way.
Yes, I do understand that.
It's not really realistic, but it does happen.
Yes.
Yes. Are there any other pesky little habits that perhaps annoy you with seasoned drivers?
Well, there is one where they don't use signals, which I find is very lazy if you think about it. And it can cause a hindrance to other drivers and confusion about communication on the road. So other drivers, if they want to give proper communication, they should be using their signals before the action or before slowing down for the action. So if they're going to make a turn, then halfway through the block is a good time to turn on a signal or before slowing down. So if you're turning off of a highway, it's a really good idea to turn a signal on before slowing down. So those people behind you or around you can also respond to that.
That makes a lot of sense. I find that quite annoying as well. You had mentioned something about rolling stops. How does that figure into those kind of habits? And again, is that a seasoned driver habit?
Well, New drivers do it too, but they can kick the habit very fast. Seasoned drivers have a tendency of doing rolling stops and not realizing they're actually rolling stops. A lot of the students that are seasoned drivers that I have been with, they roll through the stop sign, and then when I bring to their attention that they didn't come to a full stop, they sometimes argue with me that they did actually stop when they didn't. A full stop is actually the vehicle sitting back or the tires completely not moving anymore. And stop position is really important too, because you'll find a lot of drivers will go rolling past the stop line or the crosswalk because, and all granted, they're doing that so they can actually see.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
But initially, all drivers should stop before the natural path of the pedestrian or the next road user. So that's why we have stop lines. So we come to that initial stop before the stop line, and the keyword there too is before the stop line. And then if there's no pedestrians or other road users, then they can inch ahead to get a better view or to choose a safe gap in traffic.
That's a really interesting perspective, and I realize that that really should be something that isn't new to us drivers who've been driving for many years, but I'm just thinking about my own driving, just coming to the radio station today and all the rolling stops that I made. I don't think I'd pass a driving test. So for a different perspective, are there common driving scenarios that should concern us? Can you describe one of those scenarios for me?
Well, you know, Deb, it's funny that you ask, because people do come to me with these pet peeves and scenarios and look for maybe not an explanation or just to complain about other drivers on the road, which is fine because there's umpteen stories about complaining about other drivers. But one that has been mentioned a lot is, well, people that do a lot of highway driving, they'll be following someone. And for a long time, probably too, which is maybe in drive time, 5 minutes.
Yes.
Feels like forever on the highway sometimes. But they'll be following somebody, maybe somebody who's actually doing the speed limit, like you said, or a little bit under the speed limit. And then they can't wait to get past them. And then either a straight stretch opens up, a nice clear straight stretch where it would be safe to pass, or a passing lane. And then all of a sudden the person speeds up. And it almost seems like it's intentional, which can create a little frustration on the road. But a test had been done to see why this particular behavior or that drivers had taken on, and the experts came up with this dog-eat-dog world scenario where a driver unknowingly, though they were being overthrown by another driver, would speed up anywhere between 10 to 15 kilometers an hour without even knowing they're doing it.
Wow. I think I've been in that position before.